Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse, all while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, I am here, Mr. Welch, and thank you very much. Today, I will speak on pleading. And what is this pleading? Pleadings, the definition, the statements setting forth to the court the claims of the plaintiff and the answer of the defendant. But before I do that, I want to just look at this statement found in Luke 16:17. It reads, "It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." That's quite a statement. Easier for heaven and earth to pass. Pass there meaning to cease or come to an end. Fail here, the definition is to also cease, to end. What is a kibble? A kibble is an extremely small thing, a particle. As in the statement, not a particle of truth. But I will set forth some particles of truth today. Now, to give you an example of a particle of truth, the statement that I have brought to you before, which says, "I am poor and needy," that's a particle of truth. Okay, statement that says we are And I want to read that statement. 1 Corinthians 4. And it's the last statement in verse 10, which says, we are despised. Now, in Isaiah 53, we have a similar statement. And the statement comes from the plaintiff. Well, that's not in 53. This statement is coming from the defendant, which says, he is despised. And then that's in Isaiah 53:3. And the last complete statement in Isaiah 53, verse 3, says, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. But back to 1 Corinthians, this particle of truth in 1 Corinthians 4:10, we are despised. That comes from the plaintiff. The plaintiff is also called the supplicant. Another particle of truth, we are defamed. That's found in 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, being defamed, we entreat. And defamed there means to attack or injure the reputation of by false and malicious statements. Defamed means to malign, slander, or libel. Now, a defamatory statement with regard to the plaintiff and his people is found in Revelation chapter 18. That's Revelation 18 verses 12 through 13. And I have presented that statement to you before. It's the statement where the papacy puts black people in a newly developed classification, removing black people from the category of Homo sapiens and placing them in a category of things that are bought and sold. And you have, starting with verse 12 of Revelation 18, the merchandise of gold and silver, and ending in verse 13 with sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. The word slaves there, a reference to black people who were taken into captivity and enslaved by the papacy and the Gentiles. That statement is defamatory to black people. It is libelous. All right? But we're talking about particles of truth. I am poor and needy. That's a particle of truth. We are despised, a particle of truth. We are defamed, a particle of truth. Isaiah 53. Verse 3, he is despised, another particle of truth. And in the same verse, he was despised, another particle of truth. So what we have in the Bible is particles of truth throughout Bible content. And what I do, I gather the particles of truth, I organize them, I put things that go together, you know, I group things that go together. You know, that's what my work consists of. My work having to do with the organizing of the crucial matter of Bible content, organizing particles of truth. And when the particles of truth are put together, they constitute a big thing. But just one particle of truth in and of itself may not be, maybe it is a small thing, indeed, as suggested by the word particle. But as I said, when the particles are put together, lumped together, grouped together, organized with other particles of truth, we have major statements. All right, now, let's see here. Let me go to the pleadings. In the pleadings, we have statements coming from the plaintiff, also called supplicant, and statements coming from the defendant. The plaintiff is representing all black people, from those who were taken into captivity physically and cast into enslavement in a physical way, all the way to blacks who are now alive and living. The defendant being the papacy, the sitting pope, and all other Gentiles, alias white people. I will read a few of the pleadings, and then we will have the announcements brought to us by Mr. Welch. The statement, the first pleading, statement in Esther 7:4, coming from the plaintiff, and these, the plaintiff's statements are complaints. His complaint here in Esther 7:4 says, "We are sold." And remember the "we," the plaintiff is speaking about he and his people, as he makes that clear as we read on in read on with the statement, "We are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish." That is the plaintiff's complaint. All right. The finding / conclusion, Isaiah 53, verse 7. This statement comes from the defendant, which says, "He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter." Next statement coming from the defendant, Isaiah 34, verse 2. "He, the papacy, hath utterly destroyed them," the Africans / black people. "He, the papacy, hath delivered them," Africans / black people, "to the slaughter." Conclusion, 1 Samuel 2, verse 6, which is a finding, "The Lord killeth." And this "Lord" here, spelled with all capital letters, is a reference to the papacy. "The Lord killeth." So we can say, "The papacy killeth." Okay? And it's good to understand these things. Isaiah 49, verse 25, I want to read these also here. Isaiah 49, verse 25. Okay, Isaiah 49, 25. "But thus saith the Lord," and that's a reference to the papacy, "even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away." We have have a question in Isaiah 49, verse 24. The question says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? That's the question. The answer comes in the next verse, verse 25 of Isaiah 49. Thus saith the Lord, the papacy, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. That's the law. And let's say this statement, verse 25, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away. That's a tittle. But what does the law say? It says in Luke 16:17, it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. So this is an event that is bound to happen. The captives of the mighty shall be taken away. Who are the captives? The captives are the black people who were taken into captivity by the Gentiles, the papacy, and the Gentiles. The Gentiles acting at the word of the papacy. Long time ago, they became captives of the Gentiles. And we'll get to that later on as to who takes the captives away from the mighty being a reference to the papacy and the Gentiles, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Who is the prey? The prey is all those black people taken into captivity by the papacy and the Gentiles, even up to this very day. And the prayer of the terrible being a reference to the Lord, the papacy, and the Gentiles, the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. And those who are prey, P-R-E-Y, are waiting to be delivered. They may not know that. They may not know that. This is written in the law. Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Okay, but let's move on. Now, there's a statement in Esther 2:23, and I must say this. When I began to speak my first episode dealing with the plaintiff and his complaint, I did not think that information would take up as much time as it is taken up. But nevertheless, it is my desire to go ahead and present all of this material as much as I can, dealing with the plaintiff and his complaint. This is the fifth or sixth program dealing with that subject matter. And it is good, it is necessary that this information be brought forth and that I do not cut it short. We need all this information. And as I think I've alluded to it before, the amount of the information, all of this substance, is indicative of the fact that the subject matter which deals with the Gentiles and their invasion and conquest of Africa and the scattering of its people and the enslavement of its people, the taking of its people into captivity is very important, very important. And we see that in the much information that that the Bible contains dealing with it. A lot image. And the information is to be dealt with. It's there in the book to be dealt with. One scripture, one tittle of the law says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. All of these things are for our learning. They are for our good. They are for our knowledge. We should be knowledgeable of these things. If they were not in the book, then maybe we wouldn't have need to know them, but they are in the book. It's in the book. And one thing, too, I don't know about you, but in my dealings with people and talking with people, I have only heard people, black people, mention the fact that, you know, well, black people were enslaved, you know. And the conversation in dealing with the enslavement era does not go much farther than that. Yes, black people were enslaved. Even the history books, as if they haven't changed when the last time I checked on it a few years ago, just mentions the fact that black people, that Africans were taken and put into captivity or enslavement by the Europeans, and that's all. No substance, no meat on the matter, just black people were enslaved. One state, and we were left not knowing or not having any authoritative knowledge of that era and the plight of black people and the activities of the Gentiles, alias white people. But now we see that all of this information is in the Bible. And if it's in the Bible, then it is very important. Very important. All right, let's move on. So, in other words, I said that to say this. I'm giving this information the time it deserves. All right. Now, so that was the first pleading where the statement, the first complaint set forth to the court. The plaintiff, the supplicant, saying that we are sold and by people to be destroyed. One way that they destroyed many of the black people was by slaughter. And we have a statement coming from the defendant. Isaiah 53:7, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Okay. And then the statement. Isaiah 34:2, he has utterly destroyed them, talking about the Lord, the papacy. The papacy admits to doing this, destroying many Africans / black people. The papacy admits to it. Isaiah 34:2, he had utterly destroyed them, the African black people. He had delivered them to the slaughter. That is an admission of fact. Okay. And then the finding, 1 Samuel 2:6, the Lord killed him. Okay. Next complaint coming from the supplicant. It is a statement, Psalm 142:6, I am brought very low. Now, as I've said before, and we must keep these things in mind, when the plaintiff uses the singular pronoun I, he is still speaking representing all blacks. Okay? When he uses the plural pronouns, which may be we, us, our, he is obviously speaking, he is speaking again of all blacks, okay? All blacks. From those taken into captivity physically long many years ago up to the present, I am condemnation coming from the defendant, they are brought low. That's an admission. And in the defendant's statement, it is obviously that they plead guilty. Okay. All right? They are brought low. One statement coming from the complainant, the supplicant, the plaintiff, and the other statement coming from the answer coming from the defendant in the those of the papacy, the sitting, living pope, and the Gentiles, alias white people. All right? Next statement, which is a complaint coming from the supplicant, the plaintiff, Genesis 31:15, he sold us. He sold us. The finding, which is an allegation coming concerning the defendant, Psalm 106:41, he, the papacy, gave them, the Africans, into the hand of the heathen Gentiles. The complaint, the affirmation. The complaint followed by the answer coming from the defendant. Psalm 106, verse 42, they were brought, they, the Africans, black people, were brought into subjection. What did the complainant or plaintiff say? He said, he sold us. Okay. That's the complaint. And then we have the answer of the defendant. The African black people were brought into subjection. Let me read that through a statement. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verses 41 and 42. And he, the papacy, gave them into the hand of the heathen Gentiles, and they, the Gentiles that hated them, Africans, black people, ruled over them, the black people. Now, I'll read it with that. Okay, let me continue into verse 42. There the black people's enemies also oppressed them, and they, the Africans, black people, were brought into subjection under their, the papacy's hand, or the Gentiles' hand. An admission of guilt coming from the defendant. After this statement, we will hear the announcements coming from Mr. Welch. We have a statement which is a complaint coming from the plaintiff, the supplicant. Psalm 38, verse 6, the complaint, I am troubled. All right? And remember the I, he's in the I, with the I, he speaks of the whole of his people, the black people, Africans. I am troubled. The finding affirmation coming from the defendant, Psalm 104:29. All right. Psalm 104:29. They are troubled. Okay. Statement from the complainant. And a statement followed by an answer which indicates guilt coming from the defendant. The defendant being those of the papacy, the city pope, and all other Gentiles, alias white people. Mr. Welch, we are ready for announcements.
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy heart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half-millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
Thank you, Mr. Welch, for those announcements, and I will continue setting forth the pleadings. Keep in mind we are dealing with a plaintiff who is representative of all of his people, and we are speaking of the defendants being those of the papacy, the sitting living pope, and all other Gentiles, alias white people. Okay. Next. Job, let's go to Job 4:5. And I'll just read these from my notes. Job 4:5 says, "Thou art troubled." The plaintiff says, "I am troubled." And the answer of the plaintiff says, "Thou art troubled." Then in Psalm 104:29, as I said, the plaintiffs, the defendants said, they are troubled, speaking of the hold. Now, the next complaint coming from the plaintiff, obviously, Psalm 40:17, "I am poor and needy," and that complaint is spoken again in Psalm 109:22. "I am poor and needy." The finding / confirmation, 2 Samuel 12:3. Isn't it this? 2 Samuel 12:3. The poor man says, "I am poor and needy," and the affirmation says, coming from the Gentiles and the papacy says, the poor man had nothing. Now, when we're speaking about the poor and needy here, in all of these complaints, we're speaking of Africans, black people, who were taken captive by the Gentiles, forced to do hard labor without pay, who they were scattered abroad, which we'll get to that too. But we're speaking about real people. He's poor and needy. The poor man had nothing. Slaves had nothing. And remember from a preceding broadcast, the clothing of the slaves, which was sackcloth. Cheap, rough material. Probably rough, cheap material worn by all the slaves. 1 Samuel 2:7. The Lord maketh poor. That's an admission. The Lord maketh poor. Who did he make poor? He made black people, Africans / black people, poor, taking them out of their own homeland and doing the things, exploiting them as they did. The Lord maketh poor. The Lord takes responsibility for making Africans / black people poor. Proverbs 22:2, the rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. The papacy caused the Gentiles to become rich through its terrible dealings and activities that were carried out by the Gentiles, and at the same time, it caused the other group of people, black people / Africans, to become poor. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. Statement to God, Psalm 68, verse 10, Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. All of this information that I present to you is prepared for you black people. Now, it's for everybody. Don't misunderstand. It's for the Gentiles. It's for those of white people. But it is also, it is for black people, those who remain poor by the Gentiles. Proverbs 29, verse 7, the righteous considers the cause of the poor. I, in this work, consider the cause of the poor. Job 4, verse 15 through 16. Job 4, and I'm turning to it. Job 4, verses 15 and 16. Let's see what that was. 4. Okay. I don't think that's what I want. So I'll move on. But the statement says, so the poor has hope. Okay, it's chapter 5, Job 5, verses 15 and 16. Listen, he saveth the poor from the sword, from their mouth, and from the hand of the poor. Now, the work of God in this day and time here is to save the poor from the hand of the mighty. And I read a statement alluding to that earlier in this lecture. He saveth the poor from the hand of the mighty. Verse 16, so the poor hath hope, and iniquity stoppeth her mouth. The point being, the poor has hope. The poor has hope in their God, because that's who the poor is presenting his complaints to. He's presenting them to God, and I am presenting them to you. Okay, the listener. Statement, complaint, Job 21, verse 6, I am afraid. 21, verse 6, I am afraid, and trembling taketh hold on my flesh. Confirmation or affirmation coming from the defendant. Thou hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor. The defendant upholding the complaint coming from the plaintiff, who said, I am afraid, and he is afraid because, and this is, he's afraid every day, continually, because of the fury of the oppressor. complaint, which is a statement, Hebrews 12:21, I exceedingly fear and quake. Job 21:6, I am afraid and trembling and take hold, and I am afraid and trembling take its hold on my flesh. Affirmation, statement coming from the defendant, Acts 4:31, they, the African/black people, were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what is the Holy Ghost? In the Bible, Holy Ghost is the secret name for intense fear. The secret name for intense fear. Holy Ghost in the Bible is not a person. It is an the Holy Ghost is representative of an emotion, and the emotion is that of intense fear, which all slaves had. And the affirmation says what? Thou hast feared continually, often, every day. Why? Because of the fury of the oppressor. And who were the oppressors, or who are the oppressors? The oppressors are those of the papacy, the sitting pope, and all other Gentiles. Complaint, Psalm 60:1, statement from the plaintiff, also called supplicant, thou hast scattered us, the charges, the papacy and the Gentiles with scattering his people. Thou hast scattered us. Psalm 44:11, thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat and hast scattered us among the heathen. Who were black people scattered among? They were scattered among the Gentiles. So even there is a word which represents Gentiles, alias, a.k.a. white people. Esther 3:8, there is, which is the statement coming from the defendant, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people. Who were scattered abroad and dispersed among what people? The African/black people were scattered abroad by means of the slave trade and dispersed among the people, the Gentiles. And isn't that something? How here they call themselves people, the defendants, that is, call themselves people. And during the enslavement era, slaves were not regarded as people. They were regarded as what? Merchandise, as we are shown in the picture of the law, Revelation 18, where slaves, we find them listed among other things that are bought and sold. Acknowledgement, Genesis 11:8, the Lord, which is the representative of the papacy, scattered them, the African/black people, abroad. So the Bible gives the responsibility for blacks being scattered abroad, taken out of their own homeland, scattered abroad to the papacy, and, of course, the Gentiles, who actually did the physical work. The Lord, the papacy, sold black people to the Gentiles. And the Lord, the papacy, sold black people into slavery. Matthew 9:36, the enslaved black people / Africans fainted and were scattered abroad. Right? So what do we see in these things, in these pleadings? We see that the complainant, the plaintiff, is legitimate in his complaint. His complaint are corroborated by the foe, the adversary, which is those of the papacy and all of the Gentiles. Intent to scatter, Genesis 49:7. And we see that these actions coming from the Gentiles with regard to the black people These actions, these were not random acts. These were premeditated, well-planned acts or actions. Okay? That was Genesis 49:7. The intent, papal intent to scatter black people. Verse 7, chapter 49, Genesis. I will divide them and scatter them. Now, the complete statement reads, I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Who were divided and who were scattered? Of course, they were the African slash black people. And who did that? Who did the dividing and who did the scattering? Those are the papacy and all of the Gentiles. Partners in crime, the papacy and the Gentiles. Partners in crime against humanity. Admission, Zechariah 7:14, I, the papacy, scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations, the nations of the Gentiles, whom they knew not. Statement to me, coming from Nahum verse 3, chapter 3, verse 18, thy people is scattered. Who are my people? My people are African slash black people. Right. My people, they say, here, are the people who were scattered abroad by the Gentiles and the papacy. Thy people is scattered. Statement, complaint, Acts 28:20, I am bound with these chains. Affirmation, Luke 8, verse 29, he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. Now, when it says he, remember that he is representative of the whole of black people who were enslaved and conquered and scattered about abroad, etc. He was kept, the slaves were kept bound with chains and in fetters. All right, next complaint, Isaiah 51, verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Affirmation coming from the adversary, the defendant, Lamentations 3, verse 30. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. Matthew 26:67. They did spit in his, the slave's, face, or her, the slave's face, and buffeted him, and of course, slash her, because both sexes were enslaved, the males and females of the black race. Statement Jeremiah 10:19, coming from the plaintiff. My wound is grievous. He complains of a wound. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. Affirmation, Jeremiah 30, verse 12, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. Confirming the plaintiff's complaint. Admission, Jeremiah 30, verse 14, I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy. Statement coming from the papers. I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. The papers that call itself and its people cruel. Statement coming from the complainant. Jeremiah 9:19, we are greatly confounded. Confounded means confused, bewildered. Affirmation, Psalm 71:24, they are confounded. Isaiah 37:27, they, the slaves, African slash black people, they were dismayed and confounded. Matthew 9:36, they fainted, they, the slaves, the enslaved, they fainted and were scattered abroad. Isaiah 32, verse 7, he devises wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words. And maybe I can talk about that later, but we have a complaint. We are greatly confounded coming from the plaintiff and the following statement, which I just read comes from the defendants. Luke 16:24, I am tormented. Now the full statement says, I am tormented in this flame. Luke 16:24, confirming that an affirmation, thou art tormented. Revelation 14:10, the law, during that time of enslavement, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone, and the he speaks to the she as well. The slaves shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Imagine that. Can you imagine what these slaves of black people do? Can you imagine what role the fire and brimstone had in tormenting the slaves? Fire and brimstone. Question, Isaiah 42:24, who gave Jacob for a spoil and Israel to the robbers? Statement or complaint, Jeremiah 4:13, Michael 2:4, we are spoiled, we the blacks, the Africans are spoiled, we the utterly spoiled. Affirmation, Isaiah 42:22, this is a people, this the Africans / black people, this is a people robbed and spoiled. They are for a prey, for a spoil. Isn't that something? Black people for a prey, for a spoil. Statement coming from the plaintiff, Lamentations 5:1, consider and behold our reproach. And he says this to God. Affirmation, Lamentations 3:30. The affirmation coming from the defendant. He is filled with reproach. And remember that he speaks to the she as well, and that he represents the whole of the black people that were taken into captivity, Africans / black people. 1 Corinthians, the complaint, we are despised. Answer or affirmation, Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men. Remember, slaves were taken out of the category of men and put into a classification of things that are bought and sold. He is despised and rejected of men, white men, Gentile people, whether they be male or female. Okay, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Complaint coming from the plaintiff. And after this, Mr. Welch, we'll have announcements once more, and then I'll come back and finish up my lecture. Isaiah 38:14, the complaint, O Lord, I am oppressed. Answer, answer coming from the defendant, Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed. The slaves, the black people, were oppressed. Mr. Welch, we have any announcements ready at this time?
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. Again, youtube.com/Law of Gods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. I believe we have, or I have, one more complaint followed by an answer to read off. And here it is. The complaint coming from the plaintiff, Lamentations 3, verse 1, I am the man that has seen affliction. The answer coming from the defendant, Isaiah 53, 7, the answer coming from the defendant, he was afflicted. Now, the a part of the ending of the plaintiff's prayer, Isaiah 37:20. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Is the hand of the papacy the hand of the Gentiles? The power of the papacy, the power of the Gentiles. Save us. Okay. Now, what do we see in these pleadings? We see, one, that the Bible is indeed a law book through and through. Even in here, the case dealing with the plaintiff, we have complaints, and we have the answer coming. We have a complaint coming from the plaintiff, and we have the answer coming from the defendant. The Bible is a law book through and through. These things are necessary information. They make for necessary information. These things give a detailed account of happenings during the enslavement era. And we get a first-hand view of things that went on with regard to the Gentiles tormenting the slaves, the clothing of the slaves, the spoiling of the Africans / white people, the setting them up for a prey, for a spoil. We see the reproaches, such as, first of all, being made a slave, and then having people to spit in your face and to whip your body, to wound you. We see people despising the black people, the Africans. We see the slaves bound with chains and in fetters. We see the Gentiles hitting them on the cheek, smiting them. We see that the scattering, the black people were scattered. We see that they were taken out of their own homeland. We see the fear that the slaves held within themselves that was evident in trembling and quaking. Oh, we see so much about them. We see that they were so thirsted by the papacy to their enemies, the Gentiles, alias white people. We see that they were brought into subjection by them. We see that the slaves were troubled seriously. We see that they were poor and needy, that they had nothing. We see that it is the papacy that made them poor. And it was because of the workings of the papacy, the Gentiles became rich. expense of black people. We see that the slaves feared continually every day, every day. We see that they were brought very low. We see that they were defamed, they were despised. We see that they were, that there were times when the Gentiles held mass murder of the slaves and slaughtered many of the black people. We see that the black people, the slash Africans, were given by the papacy to be destroyed, many of them to be slain and to perish. We see so much in these pleadings. Therefore, the pleadings are necessary knowledge, knowledge of the plaintiff and his complaint. The cause of the poor is very important. We see that, again, that they were removed from the African slash black people were removed from the category of Homo sapiens and placed in a category of things that are bought and sold. The Bible teaching all of this information and all black people get in church is Jesus died for your sin. A fictitious character, Jesus, died for your sin. And black people, many of them, take that character, Jesus, to be a real, live person. And he's no more than a Superman figure in a Superman comic book. A thing of one's imagination, a fictitious, made-up thing. And here is all of this knowledge, information that concerns us, has to do with us. And all of these years since we've been freed, the shackles and all taken off, the fetters taken off, we have had the book, but had no sense. We had the book, having no sense of the knowledge that it has concerning us in it. That is my lecture for today. Mr. Welch, are you there? Do we have anybody on the lines? What do we have today at this time?
Yes, my lord, I'm here, and as of right now, there are no callers in the queue besides myself.
Okay.
I'll let you take it back for just a moment because I hear some background noise coming.
Okay. So, reason for us. There's reason in this information for all people to know it. For all people to know it. And, of course, with this information, there is special reason for black people to know it. Special reason. No sense in having a book. It's bad to have a book and have no knowledge of the things in it, such has been the case with us. We've had the book, the Bible, but have had no knowledge concerning the information. I'm so glad that this information is coming forth and going forth. I love it. I don't love the things that I read, you know, that happen to us. Of course I don't. But the knowledge of the information that we have a revered book that speaks on the matter in great detail. unashamedly, unashamedly, straightforwardly. Well, it may not be straightforward because in the Bible, you know, the information is chopped up and scattered about, and it cannot be read line upon line. But now, with my presentation, the information can be read line upon line, and we can see clearly and easily what the Bible actually teaches. What a book, what a work I have done with the book, with the information contained in the book. What a work I have done. And many people act as though I have done nothing. It's a sad situation. A sad situation that a black man has answered the Bible question, what is truth? A black man has gone into the book, dug into it, and come up with all of this information for you. And will you act as though you have heard nothing? When your people, black people, are in the hand of their enemy, Bible acclaimed enemy of black people. And the very same book says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Without the knowledge of the truth, you are still a captive. You're still a captive. And we have been still regarded as captives. We were taken captive by the Gentiles. The armies, Gentile armies combined and invaded and conquered Africa, took possession of Africa and its resources and its people. And we have never, we haven't had a statement yet that says to black people, that the Gentiles, the papacy says to black people, you are no longer captives. When they freed us, you know, when you free a captive, you know, he can go home. Well, when they free black people, for the most part, you know, where were we going to go? We didn't know where we were from. We forgot. We forgot the way back home. We forgot where home is. Yes, we are told we are from Africa, but you ask the average black person what particular geographical location in Africa are you from, and we cannot say. We cannot say because that's lost information taken by the Gentiles from us. So knowledge can be taken away, and it is evident in what the in the things the Gentiles have done to us. Forgotten knowledge. What culture did we have before the Gentile invasion and conquest? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know what culture. We don't know what geographical location we're from. That means we don't know where we are from. All the knowledge of our past before the Gentile invasion and conquest of Africa is lost. The Gentiles took it from us. And these are just facts. These are facts. History teaches that. And that's what I say about this information. That we were slaves is not new information. We all know that. But that the Bible speaks in detail about the enslavement of the Gentile enslavement of black people. That's new information for black people because black people didn't know it. If they knew it, one, they wouldn't see the Bible as they see it as a religious book. but maybe with some good ideas, you know. And that's all. And a book that teaches about Jesus being the Savior and all. If they knew what was really in the Bible, they would not be praising Jesus, a fictitious character, if they knew what was in the Bible. Okay.
Can I be heard?
Okay. Yes, Mr. Wells, go ahead, please.
Okay, just wanted to get past that moment of noise earlier. But I've been listening intently, and I want to focus in on one word that you state that is very profound, and that is captive. All right? And for me, the use of words is very important. I think that we have to pay attention to our words, and we have to examine them and why we use them, and if we can change them with other words that more accurately describe what we are looking at. And so one of those words is the word captive. They may tell us that we were free in 1865, post-Civil War, with the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. However, if you look at what is happening today, there is no evidence for me, I know, that describes that what we are seeing today. When I look around, I'm not looking at free black people. And why do I say that? Well, because, again, and I've mentioned this in previous broadcasts, what black people can you point to and show me where we are in sole control of just everyday mundane activity? And I don't mean, you know, that we have free range to go about our business, our daily business. That's not what I'm talking about, because on the plantation, you know, we went about our business, you know, under supervision. And so I'm saying today it's still the case. Fast forward 140-something years, it's still the same situation. And it is because of the words that we use today give us the illusion that we are in a free society, that we have power to control our destiny. And I noticed that when I think about history, when I think about the Bible being a history book, specifically the curse of the law of the curse, that history took place. We know it, and it seems, I know for me in my personal life, I didn't get an education in African history until after I converted from Christianity into Islam at the time. Now, no, I am no longer a Muslim, but I know that when I look out amongst our people, among black people, I know that the majority of people do not get an accurate history of black depiction of African history until they convert to Islam or something else, such as a Hebrew Israelite or just being a Pan-Africanist. And I look at Christianity, and though there are Christians who do study African history, it is extremely rare that you see one who knows African history and then remains a Christian. And I just want to point that out, that to be an African means that you must re-examine Christianity more than any other form of religion, you know, with the focus is on Christianity. So I just want to point that out, that for someone to actually pick up this message, they have to do one thing. Number one, they have to be willing to accept and have an open mind. Number two, they must reexamine their words. Number three, they must be a student of history. And if those three things can't take place, then it would be very difficult for one to break the chain of Christianity. And I just wanted to point that out. I could be wrong, but that's just one of my observations. And I think that that's why it is difficult for so many people, so many black people, to break free from the spell, and is what I call it. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, good point, good point. Of course, the message to black people with regard to, quote, Christianity, unquote, is to come out of it. The statement, come out of her, my people, and be you separate from that which the Gentiles have forced upon us. Because even those, and they may not know it, but even those of us who call themselves Christians, they're not Christians by choice. Black people were forced to say that they are Christians. Forced during the enslavement era to say that they are Christians. And of course, coming out of the enslavement era, we continue in that same way that we are Christians. But there's also a statement in the Bible that says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Now, with the outbreak of this information, we can have certain knowledge, even if that knowledge begins with our defeat. But one thing about it, at least we know that that knowledge is authoritative, and we have an authoritative basis on which to work and to move. When we come out, when we accept the truth, believe, know, and accept the truth, and govern ourselves, you know, with respect to the truth, we then begin to become our own. And of course, there is a course of action that the papacy has set down for black people, and it's a good course of action. The black people realize who their God is, who their God is, and even the plaintiff in the information says that he will be governed by God, his God, a black God, that is. Even he commits himself to God. This one statement says, the poor, remember the plaintiff says, I am poor and needy. The poor committed himself unto thee, talking to God. The poor commits himself unto thee. But there is a way, the poor, I read today, so the poor has hope. There's hope. There are some things that we can do with respect to truth of Bible content. And I know, you know, you, Mr. Welch, and Mr. Nero, you know, we are talking about some of those things that we can do, and we won't talk about them now in the air. We continue to talk about them and to set some things forth for black people whereby we can begin to recoup, rebuild, and go make a way for ourselves, you know, make a way for ourselves. As well.
Yes, and if I may add on top of that, I'm so happy to be a part of this, and I'm glad you mentioned it to the listeners. We are making leeway. We are putting together something we will mention at a later time. So stay tuned and find out what's coming up. We are beginning to move forward to actively begin to do something in the way of turning the situation around for Black people worldwide. And I feel like the impact will be major. And it'll be simple, but it'll be major. And all I can say is stay tuned for what we're going to announce coming up shortly. Right now we're working behind the scenes to put some things together.
Absolutely. So I'm glad, too, I'm glad for the information. I'm glad that we have brought the information to the point, we've gotten it to the point to where it is now. We have much information with regard to the truth of Bible content on the Internet, and you have us on, you have that information, which is accessible to Black people and to all people, but Black people in particular, on the various mediums, such as not iTunes, but YouTube, and of course you know more about that than I do. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Don't mean to cut you off. Just mm-hmm. when you begin to talk about that, I get excited.
Okay.
And when the topic turns to technology, I just think of all the endless possibilities, and these tools that we have are a great a mass of weapons in our arsenal, I would call it.
Yeah.
because knowledge is power, and mm-hmm. also, but with the knowledge, you have to. It's not merely the all for you to know it. You have to use it. You have to take it and do something with it. You
right,
have
right.
to be active with it. And I'll give you an example. Just yesterday, I knew about this new technology for my vehicle that I wanted to try that would reduce gas mileage. It's supposed to reduce the gas mileage by, upwards of 25 to even 75%. The hope is to cut in half my fuel costs. Well, I finally put the mechanism together and fitted it in my truck. And of course, over the next few months, I will be testing it to see, if my mileage has dropped. And from the testimonials that I get from other people, of course, it definitely works. And they're very, very excited and happy. And, after doing so, it was such an overwhelming sense of accomplishment and actively doing something to combat these gas prices that we're facing. And all one has to do is, you don't even have to contemplate or what I would like to do that, one day. Sometimes all it takes is for you to just, I'm not going to sit here and think about it too long. I'm just going to get up and do it.
Just do it.
You don't even know why I'm doing it right now. I'm just going to do it. And then once it's completed, you say to yourself, I did that.
Right.
And it was that easy. So the message that I'm trying to send is that for us overall, we have the knowledge, right? The only thing that needs to take place is we have to begin to become active and not wait for other people. You yourself can do many things by yourself or with a small group of people. All it takes is for you to just get up and do it. And like our Lord, Mr. Hart has been studying for 38 years, putting together the manuscript, the Book of the Law of God. And now look at it. Now look at the results. He has mastered the Bible and is now poised to go forth and I'd like to say, free our people once and for all. We have one in our midst that is poised to do that. And I've come on board one person to help in any way I can. And it's just so amazing. I just want to, you know, take time and just, again, express how excited I am to be doing this work, to be helping Mr. Hart in this endeavor. And it's because you just have to say to yourself, look, I'm not going to think about it too much. I'm just going to get up and do it. And whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. And nine times out of ten, when you take on that attitude of just being active in something, it doesn't matter what it is, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, you'd be surprised really at what you can do, what you can
accomplish. Yes, sir.
That's a good statement. And of course, you made me think about myself, of course. I sacrificed some other things to really give time to the study of Bible content. I gave up a few, and because really in the beginning, I didn't know it would take this long to analyze Bible content, and I never did say I'm going to analyze Bible content. It just happened. I began to find out some things and kept finding out some things and just kept on finding out some things and still finding out some things. So, like you say, you just do. You just do. And we've done and are doing all these things, you know, for the people, for the people. And we are really combating evil. And the plaintiff makes that clear in his you know, pleadings and all. In his case, he makes it clear, and he looks for deliverance through the power and knowledge of God. That is clear in his prayer, in his supplications, and in his petition, because he petitions to God and in behalf. He petitions to God in behalf of all black people. I was telling somebody yesterday evening that you don't need to know everything. You don't need to know everything. But as you were saying, you can work from that which you do know. There's a statement that says something like this. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. I looked at that in a different light the other day. That's really not a negative. It doesn't have to be a negative statement. I think when most people say it, they're, you know, like putting down a little knowledge, like a little knowledge is a bad thing. No, a little knowledge is a good thing. I mean, it's better to have little knowledge than no knowledge at all. I mean, you know, so, but I began to look at that statement in a different light that, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Truth is a dangerous thing. What do I mean by that? It's a bad thing, which is a good thing for the Gentiles. Truth of Bible content, knowledge or truth of Bible content being put out. brings them into subjection to God and brings them, puts them under the authority of God. Do they like that? Do they wish for that and long and want that to long for and want that to happen? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to answer that question. But I mean, to them, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Not meaning inherently bad, but a powerful thing. A little knowledge is a powerful thing. Because just by having a little knowledge of Bible content, you see who God is and you see who the papacy gives all of its power to. A little knowledge. A little knowledge. But as I said, I am excited for where we are today, and I'm excited about this thing, this new endeavor that we're undertaking, which we cannot speak of today. But I'm just excited about things. And I'm excited from where we have come. The knowledge to where we have gotten in regard to the contents of the Authorized Version Bible. It is so good. And I know one day that this knowledge will be common knowledge, that it will be the knowledge of the times. As we said last week, or week before last, that, you know, the information is in its infancy now. But it's growing. It's growing. It's healthy and it's helpful as a newborn baby, you know, healthy and vibrant and looking forward to a good, long life. I see the information, you know, in that regard, that this information will have a good, long, and prosperous life and profitable life, in that it will do the thing that it says and commands to be done, that those things will be done. They may not be done today, but they will be done. One thing, having knowledge of this, that there are certain things the Gentiles must do by their own law, and I do look for them to do that. I expect for them to do that, do those things which Scripture says they must do. And I expect for you, the listener, whoever you may be, wherever you may reside, to, I expect and look forward to you one day, and it can start today, being a part of truth. Walking,
you know,
in the truth. Go ahead.
You know, Mr. Hart, one of the things I was thinking about the other night, and it's a timeline. It started with a timeline of mm-hmm. events that took a place right around the 1611 revised edition of the Bible, which is now the Authorized King James Version Bible, that the Vatican, of course, has given us. The year is 1555, and that is how many years? Around 50, almost, you know, between 50 and 60 years before the King James Version was officially written in 1611. And that number, I've heard before, 1555 being the year the first captives, the first African captives were taken by Europeans. And, you know, they say the official year is 1619, but let's deal with this year, 1555. Well, if, you know, black people were first taken into slavery in the year 1555. Well, why are they using the year 1619 as the year? And I think that is something to research. I suspect at this point the reason is because if you deduce from just logic, the year 1611, 1555 is the first year that black people were taken from their homes into Europe, and Europeans were seeing us and what we could do and what they did with us. The Vatican got a hold of that information, and when it became time to revise the Bible, they needed to devise a way to sanction and legalize the slave trade, because they saw the profits that could be made from it. You know, because the European, not only are they law-abiding people, but they are huge on anything that is economic activity, that's anything that's going to bring them prosperity, wealth. And so therefore, at some point between 1555 and 1611, they came to that realization that the slave trade could be extremely profitable. And so fast forward to 1611, the Vatican, of course, the papacy, convened many meetings with respect to what they would, you know, how they would compile the new Bible. And, of course, emphasis was placed on the curse Ham specifically for us. And 1619 is probably a year where the slave trade began. And don't quote me on this. I'll have to go back and do the research, because I just recently came across this information, that it actually began to be here in the States, in the United States, or in the West, if you will, not particularly the United States, but in the Americas. And so I'm going to put together a timeline, I believe, and load it up to the website for everyone to see, kind of the early steps of what took place, and of course, along with the history of what. But I think that would be a good idea. That's been on my mind for a couple of days now. I think that it would be much more apparent to people if they can put these events in a timeline where they can see them, and then be described as well. It should help people to understand a little bit better what we're dealing with. Your thoughts on that, sir? Is that in the correct direction, or do you think that would be much more beneficial?
Well, I mean, any accumulation of knowledge, you know, whether it be a timeline on those events or not, I mean, is good. You know what I'm saying? I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, that's good.
Yes. Yes, there's much information out there to corroborate what the Bible speaks. Version of the Bible speaks. And it's just, you know, for me, it's it's a tragedy that we even have to do this, but it must be done.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we do not, who will?
Absolutely right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. As for me, I really, you know, don't have anything else to add on today.
Okay.
We have
20 minutes left of the archive part of the show. I have nothing further, sir.
and nobody's on the lines and all?
Let me do a quick check here. No callers at this time.
Okay.
We do have 20 right. minutes left in the show.
Okay.
So if I mean if we're if this is complete, we can just end it here.
Yes, I think we can. Yeah, because
okay.
I really don't have anything else.
Okay, another excellent show, and I will take us out with a commercial. And
okay.
for all the listeners out there, enjoy the day, and then going into next week. And we will see you back here, as always, next Sunday, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website, lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read, a text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half-millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.